You know, he's a miracle. He's served there last year. Amen. He fleeced the Lord, and God opened up a door and brought him back to Sacramento, or to Manteca. And so we're so glad he's here. But, you know, he's got a hunger and a passion for the things of God. He doesn't just have a yearning to preach. He does Bible studies. He does outreach. He's a soul winner. He's true blue. Amen. Praise. He's genuine. Amen. He just really has souls in his heart that he wants to win for the Lord. Amen. And so, you know, I've talked to him just many times, but we knew that he was going to preach this day back a few months ago. And God's done a great work for him. Amen. Praise God. He's done a great work in him, and he's still doing it. And I'm very, very grateful. I see great things happening in his future. I see God using him in amazing ways. We already see him, how God uses him here in the services. And you would think that he's had many, many years of being involved in ministry, of leading the services and operating under the Holy Ghost. And it's not been long. He's got anointing on him. Amen. And I think part of that anointing comes from his daddy. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God put an anointing in him and transferred it to his son. And he's got a double blessing. Amen. Double portion. Praise God. Hey, how is it these young people get these double portions of us? How is that, Brother Clem? Amen. I don't know how that is, but amen. But it is not right. Yeah. Why don't we stand? We're going to have Brother Austin Clem come and take his liberty. Brother Austin, come take your liberty and just preach the word of God. Amen.
Let's give that unto the Lord tonight. Has he been good to you? I think we can do a little bit better than that. Has God really been good to you? It is a privilege and an honor to bring the word of the Lord tonight. A few months ago, I was talking with Pastor, and he asked me to set in my schedule sometime in September. I said, okay. And we're here. It feels like time has just flown by. And I'm happy to be a part of the Pentecostals of Lodi. It's an honor and a privilege to serve people in Lodi. And I am very blessed. I'm a very blessed man. If you only knew the things that I've gone through and where I've been and where I am now, it's a miracle, like Pastor said. And I want to thank Pastor for asking me to speak tonight. We have a wonderful pastor and first lady, don't we? Let's give them a hand. We are a very blessed people to have a shepherd like him. If I could bring your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. When you're there, say amen. There's about four people that got there pretty quick. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself to the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we could raise our hands and lift our voice in this place. God, I pray that your will would be done in this place. Lord, have your way amongst your people. Jesus, I pray the anointing would flow through me, Jesus. Use my lips of clay, God. Speak your words from my mouth, Jesus. God, permeate our hearts with your word, Jesus. We thank you in advance for the work that you're going to do, Jesus. It's an honor and privilege, Jesus, to be in the house of the Lord this evening, God. We thank you. We worship you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. I feel there's a strong attack on our minds in these last days. More than ever before. Oh, thank you for the handkerchief. The enemy is doing everything he can to try to bring us down, to try to make us weary in our mind. The mind is where he fights us. For the next few moments, I want to preach to you on the subject, the daily battlefield. This may feel like a familiar message. Some may have heard it preached before, something similar, but there's a reason for every action and a purpose behind everything, whether we see it or not. There's two ways that a man is tempted. I took this from Pastor's Bible study, so thank you, Pastor. There's two ways that a man is tempted. A man can be tempted by his own evil desires, in James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The second way is men can be tempted by the devil. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The key to overcoming your adversary is knowing your adversary. Knowing his tactics. Knowing the weapons that he uses. As we're in the last of the last days, the enemy is going to use every weapon in his arsenal to bring us down. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Yesterday we discussed in our Bible study, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous in the Greek is chalepos. It is a word used to describe ugly words that, when spoken, are hurtful and emotionally hard to bear. It also carries the idea of an action, a place, person, or thing that is harsh, harmful, and filled with high risk. If you look into the world today, you will find perilous times. We discussed perilous times means demonic times. If you look in the news and you look throughout the world and the events that are happening, we have an adversary that has an agenda and is not afraid of its agenda. It is bold and proud. It doesn't have shame. You will find a demonic force that will use anything to get its agenda into public places and to get noticed. Hell has an agenda, and it's throwing it in the face of the world in these last days. Hell has an agenda that is harmful. Hell has an agenda that is harsh. Hell has an agenda that is to get you off track by any means necessary. If you bear with me for a moment, feel like this is something, if you've served God for any period of time, you've dealt with this. Because once you've decided to live for God, you put a target on your back. You have now put the enemy's crosshairs on you and your family. Because before, when you were living in the world, you weren't a threat to him. You were right where he wanted you to be. You were living in sin. You weren't living right. You weren't living holy. You weren't capable of doing damage to the kingdom of hell. But now, you carry power with you. You are a threat to the kingdom of hell. You have the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in the only saving name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. You are now doing the will of God in your life. You are now living holy and a separated life unto God. You are now not bound by sin because you've been transferred from one kingdom to another. You now have the power to live above sin, and you are now a threat to hell and the agenda of hell. And now the devil says, you're a problem because you can do damage to what I'm trying to do. I have an agenda, and now you have the power to be a thorn in my side. The devil studies you. He reads you. He knows what makes you tick. He's been studying humanity for a long time. He knows your buttons. He knows what gets you angry. He knows what gets you sad. That's why in Isaiah 54 it says, no weapon formed against you. It's individualized for you. His weapons are specialized for you. The tactics that he uses against you may differ from the tactics that he uses against me. That's why for the next few moments, I want to talk about the mind. The mind is the largest battlefield that we fight on in this walk with God. Everything takes place in the mind. Doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, depression, complacency, satisfaction, joy, peace, hate, love, curiosity, wisdom, pride, humbleness, animosity, envy, gratefulness. All of these things take place in the mind. That's why the battle for your mind is so important. The devil wants to win the war for your mind so he can control the way you think. If the devil can influence your thoughts, he can influence your actions. You know what's crazy, Brother Gavin? It's not even the devil trying to get you to leave church. That would be the ultimate goal. But if he can get jealousy in your mind, if he can get envy, gossiping, pride, if he can just place it in your mind, you can come to church all you want. He's saying, fine, you can go to church, but I want you to be a little bit proudful. I want you to be jealous. I want you to think ill of your brother or sister. He wants you to isolate yourself. The devil is smarter than just to get a blood-washed believer to go from a church service to a bar or from a church service to a club. He's smarter than that. But if he can just get you to plant a seed of envy in your mind, jealousy, animosity, gossip, if he can just whisper in your mind, I think so-and-so's talking behind your back. I think so-and-so's excluding you. I think so-and-so doesn't like you because they look at you a certain way. For new people, don't sit up in the front because you got to work your way up there. You haven't been going to church that long. You got to work. You got to earn your way up to sit up in the front. Don't go to Wednesday service because you're going to be too tired tomorrow. Don't go to Sunday service because you didn't catch up on everything on Saturday. It's just not worth it. Don't go to the altar because people are going to think that something's wrong with you and they're going to try to figure it out. Don't clap and worship God because God won't be able to notice you. You might as well not even pray today because those thoughts that you had earlier were sinful. If he can get into your mind, he can get into your ministry. If he can get into your mind, he can get into your marriage. If he can get into your mind, he can get your peace. If he can get into your mind, he can get your joy. If he can get into your mind, he can get your victory. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, it says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." He doesn't even have to get you to do it physically. He just wants to get you to do it in your mind. I don't even have my phone with me. But you know the biggest thing, the biggest way that the devil wants to, the biggest tool that he uses? Technology. That's one of the biggest tools that the devil uses to alter the way you think. 60 years ago, you never would have thought. But what do we have now? Music at our fingertips. Pornography at our fingertips. Social media at our fingertips. News at our fingertips. Distractions at our fingertips. Entertainment at our fingertips. Some of us are more interested in the news that you get on your phone than the news that you get in your Bible. The devil will have you more worried about the next U.S. president rather than the rapture. He'll have you paying more attention to the inflation on earth rather than an inflation of a blessing. It's pretty quiet in here. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He will get your eyes onto the troubles of this world rather than you focusing on the gifts from above. He'll have you more worried about the Antichrist than Jesus Christ. He plays off our actions. He studies us. He's a master hunter. He's been studying humanity for a long time. You know, Brother Gavin, I know we've said it plenty of times, but in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." As I was preparing for this message, God gave me a revelation. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's not just isolated to your tongue. It's what we listen to. The environment that we put ourselves in. What are we listening to? The eyes and the ears are the gate to the soul. What are we seeing? What are we allowing in our home through technology? What are we watching? What are we allowing to enter our mind? The devil watches us. He looks for weak spots where he can attack. He wants to confuse us. He's the author of confusion. There's a war for our mind. I'm not preaching against social media and technology. That's not my place. And if, you know, Brother Austin is not going to say, if you have Instagram, you're going to go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But if there are problems that we have in those things, cut it off. Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 43 says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell." I was watching a podcast. This was a few years ago. And it was somebody that was in our movement over in the Bay Area. And they were doing a podcast and talking about the verse that we covered, 2 Corinthians. And the man of God said, you can't control every thought that comes into your mind, but you can control what you do with them. You can't control the things that come into your mind, but you can control what you do with those thoughts. That's why it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The enemy likes to throw ideas, thoughts, and imaginations into our mind to see what we do with them. Do we ponder with it and let it run wild? Anybody ever daydreamed? You can raise your hand. If you daydream, that's not bringing a thought into captivity. Not saying that it's evil and you're going to go to hell for it, but that's an example. Daydreaming, staring up at the stars or whatever it is, that's not bringing a thought into captivity. But one of the enemy's tactics is throwing imaginations and thoughts into your mind, and he sits back and watches, okay, what are they going to do with that? Are they going to bring it into captivity? I feel like there's someone in this room, under the sound of my voice, that has been dealing with the enemy and attacking your mind. And it seems hopeless. Seems like the enemy's attacked your mind so much that you can't control it. Seems like you're losing a battle. We can all stand. You guys helped me preach pretty quick. But there's somebody who feels like the battle for their mind seems like it's a losing battle. But the enemy has attacked you on all fronts, and it doesn't seem victorious. I told Brother Gavin yesterday the story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, and the storms raging, and the wind and the wave crashing against the boat. And they go and they wake Jesus up. They say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What they failed to do is remember. They called him master, but they failed to remember who he was the master of. That's why after they said, "What manner of man is this, that the wind and the seas obey him?" I want to speak to somebody who forgot the master of the wind and the seas is in your boat. They called him master, but they forgot what the master could do. Somebody's forgot because the enemy has lied to you and invaded your mind and corrupted your mind, and you forgot what the master can do. He's the master of the wind and the waves. He's the giver of life. The master's in the boat with you. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of all lies, and the truth is not in him. We can all come to the front. I won't bite, I promise. If you've been fighting in your mind a battle, and it seems like you're on the losing side, or things seem uncertain, and see, Brother Austin, I'm dealing with so much. I don't know. I have so many different thoughts and everything, and I can't seem to get control of it. The master's in the boat with you. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The master's in the boat with you, and he wants you to realize, look up to the hills where your help comes from. He's looking for a group of people that say, I may be dealing with this, but I'm going to look unto the hills where my help comes from. This world is so uncertain. Things of the future are God only knows. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. It says watch, not fear, not worry, not be anxious. Watch ye therefore and pray always. He's wanting a people to look up in their time of trouble, in their time of weariness. When you feel like your battle's losing and you become weary, God's saying, remember who's in your boat. The master is in your boat. The master is on your side. God is a God of restoration, not just physical restoration, but he can restore your mind. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you're dealing with, he can restore your mind. He's a God of restoration. There's nothing too hard for him. Whatever you've been battling in your mind against the adversary, and whatever he's told you, you're not worthy enough. You'll never amount to anything. You can never be used of God. You can never do this. You can never do that. He's a God of restoration. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. If you've been fighting in your mind, we could all close our eyes. If you've been fighting in your mind and you've been dealing with the adversary that's been attacking you, I want you to go ahead and raise your hands. Because the master is in the building tonight. The master is here to comfort you. The master is here to restore your mind. The master is here to remind you that everything is under his name, that God is on your side, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The masters in this room, if you need God to restore your mind, he can do it in this place. He's able to do it in this place. He's a God of restoration. The master is in the boat with you. The master is on your side.